Okay.
I just got my first computer getting checked in that had Windows 11 and has now somehow showed up with Windows 10 on it, with all of its data back, and everyone forgot all of its passwords.
Today I brought up that third $100 Lenovo in Windows 11.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did the install, this time it got through, you know, and then finally it said, oh, we're sending you an email with an authentication number. That's the first time I've seen that.
That was driving this guy crazy because he kept wanting him to change his passwords, where it never updated them and never actually changed them.
Well, this is a thing, because that implies that you have to have another machine to...
Yes, you can't actually use your computer without already owning a computer.
That's right.
And Microsoft, there's always going to be a right way around it, but they've done very good jobs of not, at least the ways around it right now, are not easy to find.
Yeah.
And then it seems like the last two patches on it, as soon as somebody has found a way around it or another way around it, they've patched it almost next day. So it seems like Microsoft's really wanting everything to be managed with an email address or hooked up that way. It is, what is it? I want to say there's a few of the privacy features underneath the Windows 11 settings that you can't actually turn on without having an email address signed on. Some of the things like ransomware protection or the secure memory isolation.
Yeah.
So there is a few reasons.
Well, this gave me no choice. I had to have my...
it doesn't let you do it as an offline account if you want to. I don't even think it will let you sign in with an email address, create an offline account, and then delete that original email.
Oh, another thing you did is it says, oh, we see you here. Do you want to download all your settings from another laptop? And it did, okay, and I put it on it. Mm-hmm. But, guys, I appreciate the thing about the RISC-V. Mm-hmm. I ordered a RISC-V board.
Mm-hmm.
And let me show you what it is here if I can find it. And what it was strange because I got... a notification on Google Mails from Amazon. And it said, look, here's the machine. I just looked at it and I dumped it into the trash. And I thought, hey, I better look at that a little bit more carefully. So I got into the trash and pulled it up. And what it is, it's a 64-bit RISC machine, okay, from China. But the thing that caught my eye is, well, certainly the 64-bit, it only runs like at 444 megahertz, Okay, but then the thing that got it, it said C and C++ on the thing. And so that's what, see if you can see it, I thought I had it here.
Only dual core, huh?
Hey, Otto, is there on that fast storage thing, chips, is there a chipset that I could take a look at it? Because I have it running now on Windows 11, and I'm going to get Specky out and look at it because I also have a...
Hello, ma'am. I can help you out.
Okay. I also have a ASUS. Okay. And I want to check the chipsets in the ASUS with the ones in the Lenovo. Because I didn't have any problem with the ASUS getting on to 10 or anything like that.
I can't think of any particular chipset.
Okay.
Well, I'll have to look into it.
Okay. Well, I'll check the two ones because I have one of them running still Windows.
Mm-hmm.
My $150 one from Utah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, Specky, and take a look at that.
Okay.
Oh, another thing that I just in the news this morning, Google's planning big layoffs.
Really?
Okay. And I one time I by email I was emailing with Ace, and I said, hey, you ought to maybe look for a job at Google. Once that guy tried to do to me.
Trying to get you laid off.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of surprising.
You see it here?
The Risk Five.
The Risk Five?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I should have a second lay potato coming in, and I'm going to try to put RPiOS, a Raspberry Pi operating system, on it. And then also the one I have currently, put Ubuntu on it and see how it works. But that is impressive what those guys have done.
Patrick is showing me the actual hardware on that guy. It's pretty impressive.
And the Lou Potato said too, you can put the server, Ubuntu server, or the desktop on.
Hey, that's not too bad.
So, well, okay, well, I'll try to look at the chipsets, because that really interests me that Microsoft would do something like that.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not too sure which chipsets. It was pretty much any laptop processor.
Oh.
I haven't ran into the issue with desktops.
Let me see. I didn't see the Dell.
Granted, we haven't had to really do it on very many desktops.
So I got a new computer.
Uh-huh.
They got me.
Oh, okay. On the Windows 10, I've had only two. 20H2 has upgraded to 21H2. And then also, just recently, I've had one to go to 22H2.
Yeah. The Windows 11 equivalent.
Is it the 22H2?
Yeah, Windows 11 has a 22H2 as well. And that's the version that made it so you can no longer use your Ethernet to just plug and unplug through the update. You now need a Microsoft account, no matter what, to get Windows 11.
I don't quite understand what you're saying.
So prior to 22H2, with Windows 11, there is a workaround to make a local account still, where you would plug in an Ethernet cable to connect to your network, and then you just unplug it when it asks for the Microsoft account, and then you just hit the back arrow, and it just asks you to put in a name, and it steps you through it. Now you can no longer do that.
Oh, I see.
And matter of fact, I tried it with an old Windows 11 ISO, and it just left me with a gray screen after I plugged in the Ethernet. So I imagine it probably just corrupted the whatever ISO it was trying to use.
Yeah. No, I used that trick once to avoid going through by unplugging the Ethernet, and it worked, okay, and at least at that time. But, this whole thing with software is just getting to be a mess.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in the sense of even my cell phone. Did I tell you what happened here?
Yeah.
I had the cell phone, and all of a sudden it updated to from 11 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the other one, the new one I got, went from 13 back to 12, and so now they have they're just maintaining one. But the software costs, people don't realize only 20% of the cost of software is it when the product released. The other 80% is fixing bugs and enhancements.
Oh yeah.
And somebody didn't.
Someone's not doing their job right.
They weren't listening. Another thing that Stu mentioned, and let me see if you can put it up on the Chrome OS. Stu said, "Hey, that thing's crashing like crazy and everything like that." But I didn't ask him on which one, because there's the ARM version and there's the x86 version, and they're considerably different.
I'm not too sure which one he would be mentioning.
Okay.
Because unfortunately, I don't see very many Chrome ones here.
Yeah. No, the thing, I went through the Chrome operating system for the ARM, and it was like the programmers were fatigued. You get into it, and all of a sudden they just stopped working on, getting it. It was just like, and that wasn't true with the x86. It was pretty...
I'm not too sure. I know I had a couple come in with an ARM processor on a Lenovo, and theirs was crashing consistently.
And they were crashing?
Yeah, they were crashing. They told me, actually, that they would have to get a flash drive to reload their Chrome OS about every day or so.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I did put the GCC compiler on the ARM.
Okay.
I couldn't use it, but I installed it at least.
Well, it's a step in the right direction, at least.
Well, no, this whole thing is just, the news is just wild. It's only been about, 2 weeks or something since it broke. And
okay, I found it, Christina. So, really sorry about that.
But thank you guys for looking at the reply. We'll see what happens.
Hopefully some good news.
No, I want to get...
With Adele?